This program is brought to you by Israel Restoration Ministries.
What are you doing Sunday nights? Come join Friendship with God radio Bible teacher Tom Cantor of the Friendship with God Fellowship Church every Sunday night at 5:30 p.m. at The Vine at 9336 Abraham Way, Santee, California. Watch and listen live around the world to Tom Cantor Sunday evening on YouTube.com by searching for Friendship with God Fellowship or by going to our homepage at friendshipwithgod.org. That's friendshipwithgod.org. Welcome to Friendship with God with our Bible teacher, Tom Cantor. Today's message and previous messages can be listened to or downloaded for free at friendshipwithgod.org. That's friendshipwithgod.org. You can also obtain free resources from Tom Cantor and view our online bookstore at friendshipwithgod.org or call us at 800-247-3051. That's 800-247-3051. Tom Cantor also has a daily devotional verse that comes out each day by email and on Facebook. To receive this small daily devotional verse that Tom Cantor puts out, you can sign up at friendshipwithgod.org. That's friendshipwithgod.org. Or find Tom Cantor on Facebook by searching for Tom Cantor and Friendship with God. Now, here's our Bible teacher, Tom Cantor.
And so we can see how important this measuring man is in verse 2, because Jesus Christ is a light to the Gentiles, and he's become a light to lighten the Gentiles. And many Gentiles from the ends of the earth are coming to that light. They're all coming to Jerusalem. It's got to be expanded. It's got to be expanded, because what we see a little bit later on in this book in Zechariah 8:23, we're going to see that the city's got to be expanded for all those skirt-clinging Gentiles who have clung to the skirt of a Jew. In Zechariah 8:23, thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold of, out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Oh, so this measuring man, he's got this on his mind. This measuring man, there's 10 men, there's 10 Gentiles. They're speaking all the languages of the world. They've taken hold of the skirt of a Jew. They won't let go of that skirt of the Jew. They're holding it tight. They're holding it very tight. And they have one demand. They must go with that Jew because they've heard that God is with the Jew. And they want God. Not only they just don't want God, they must have God. They will have God. And so the measuring man in verse 10, he's got these 10 skirt-clinging Gentiles in his mind who are saying that they won't let go until they are brought to God. So they're bringing them to Jerusalem. Jerusalem right now has different sections, different, very distinct sections. One of the sections is called Mir Sha'arim. Mir Sha'arim is where the Frommers live, where the Orthodox Hasidic Jews live now. That's where they live, Mir Sha'arim. You don't want to drive there on Saturday unless you want a rock thrown through your windshield. There's also another part of Israel, Jerusalem. There's the eastern sector of Jerusalem where the Arabs live, But the New Jerusalem, and this is very divided. See, the Jerusalem is very divided, but the New Jerusalem is not going to have divisions to it. It will not be divided into regions. There will not be an Arab sector of Jerusalem. There will not be a Gentile sector of Jerusalem. There will not be a Jewish sector of Jerusalem called God's people sector. It's not going to be that way at all, because all those nations that come to Jehovah Jesus as the Lamb of God, they're all going to be, verse 11, many nations shall be joined unto the Lord in that day and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of them. That's very significant when it says that those nations will be joined to the Lord, because if those many nations of Gentiles and the Jews are joined to Christ, that means 1 Corinthians 1:13, is Christ divided? Absolutely not. Christ is not divided. The Jews, those various many nations in verse 11, all joined to Christ. So that all means that the Jews and those many nations are not divided from each other. So there'll be no sectors as there is now in Jerusalem. Not like it is today. I was so shocked when I was in Jerusalem, 1987, a long time ago. I remember there was this car, this little car. It was parked there, and it had a Star of David on the license plate. So it was obviously owned by a Jewish man. And I watched this Arab come up to it, and he coughed up the most gross mucus and just spit it on the windshield. I've never forgotten that because of the hatred that was displayed there. Jerusalem is going to be different, very different. Jews and Arabs, many nations, all joined to Jehovah Jesus. No divisions among them, because all those Jews and all those Gentiles together by God are going to be known as my people, my people. So we're very excited that the measuring man has come in verse 2 with the idea of greatly expanding the city. In verse 2, then said I, whither goest thou? He said unto me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof, the length thereof. But wait, everybody says, wait, what about a wall? What about a wall? Now, when the first thing, when David moved into the city, he took it from the Jebusites. When he moved into the city, he built the wall, and then he built Milo, it says in the Bible, which are like towers that to guard the wall, as part of the wall. And so people was to say to the measuring man, wait a minute, you're greatly expanding the city. What about the wall? We need a wall. We need a wall of protection. The wall of the city is going to be so large all at once. How will you do? What are you going to do for a wall? What are we going to do for a wall? What a tragedy. There can't be a wall large enough. That new expanded Jerusalem will have to enclose millions and millions of people. Many more millions than Los Angeles. Los Angeles has a diameter of 100 miles. How could there be a wall large enough to surround the whole city of Los Angeles or a city bigger than that? And to this, God says, don't worry. Don't worry about the wall. Just quick, put that concern about the wall out of your head. Run, God says. Run, run, run. Speak. So no one will worry about that. There being no wall, he says it in verse 4, he said unto him, run, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and for cattle therein. And the man's thinking, without walls? How can the city of Jerusalem be without walls? How will the city be protected with no walls? Mr. Measuring Man, he's saying, don't worry, because God knows what he's about to do. In verse 5, God says, for I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about. It will be in the glory in the midst of her. God himself is going to be a wall? God himself is going to be a wall of fire? Oh, does that make us not worry? There could be no better protective wall than God himself. There could be no greater security than God himself being a wall of fire, a wall of fire surrounding that great new expanded Jerusalem, large enough to protect everyone inside, a wall of fire that's always seen by everyone in Jerusalem, reminder of the protection God gives, just like the pillar of fire that was with the Israelites for those 40 years when they were in the wilderness. The wall of fire reminds me when I visited my friend Avi in Jerusalem. I called Avi up one day and I said, Avi, I'm coming to Israel to be with you. He says, oh, that's wonderful, Tom. Where are you going to stay in Israel? I said, it's your house. I'm waiting for you to invite me. He did. And Avi and I drove to Caesarea just for a little outing to be together. We drove up Highway 6 from Jerusalem to Caesarea. And that was when the new wall between Israel and the Palestinian territory was being constructed. Now, the country of Israel, the government, kept that a big secret. No photographs in the newspaper. And most of the Israelis were really kept in dark about that wall, and they never saw the wall as it was being constructed. And we were passing by the Arab town of Qalqilya, and the government had pushed a big mound of dirt up against Highway 6 there, because Avi explained to me that the residents of Qalqilya shoot bullets at the Israeli cars on Highway 6. And I remember as he was telling me that, and I just slumped down in the car a little bit, and but then I saw the wall. I saw the wall being constructed. And Avi told me, he says, oh, I never saw the wall before. And I took a picture of the wall. And that night back home, I was going through my pictures and I put a little caption on the photo. And the caption read, oh, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be a wall of fire for Israel. Well, those were my pictures, you know. And I forgot I put that caption there. And I was showing the pictures to Avi's wife. And when she saw that, to say she was angry was an understatement. She was infuriated. But Verse 5 says that. Verse 5 says, For thus saith the Lord, I will be unto her a wall of fire round about. So the measuring man is pressed, and it was like he wanted to talk to Zechariah. He wanted to explain more to him as Zechariah was asking questions, but it seems like in verse 3, he's interrupted. In verse 3, he's interrupted, and behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went forth to meet him. So it was almost like the measuring man says, sorry to Zechariah, I'd love to sit and talk with you, chat with you, but I just can't because I'm sent on a mission to measure the city, and I can't spend time talking to you. So excuse me, I got to move on. And all those Gentiles are coming. I got to finish my work of measuring soon. And everyone is just amazed at the message that Jerusalem's going to be expanded. It's going to be towns without walls. It's unheard of. And they're told, don't worry, because it's going to be, they have the wall of fire, a wall of fire. How can God be a wall of fire? A wall of fire. You know, the great fear of a wall is that it'll be broken through. That's what they used to do. Broken through. But this wall, how can, a wall of fire can't be broken through. Wall of fire be maybe scaled. A wall of fire can't be scaled. Wall of fire, like the fall of Babylon, Persia, when it was undermined, the great wall was undermined. This wall of fire can't be undermined. It can't be approached. It's a wall of fire. Only God can make a wall like that, because God is a consuming fire. In Deuteronomy 4:24, the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. That wall of fire is a wall of jealousy, God's jealousy. You know, a jealous husband who's in love with his wife. If another man starts to show interest in his wife, he moves in with eyes of fire. That man speaking to his wife. And when it says in Deuteronomy 4:24 that God is a consuming fire and God is a jealous God, that wall reflects God's jealousy. That's a jealousy that's a consuming fire. In other words, when an enemy even comes close, not just is kept back by the fire, but he's consumed by that fire, the fire of God's jealousy. Who needs a protection with a wall of fire like that? And not only will God be around Jerusalem as a wall of fire, but he says in verse 5, for I saith the Lord will be unto her a wall of fire round about her, and will be the glory in the midst of her. So Jerusalem's going to be known not only as a place where God protects, but where God dwells. He dwells there because the glory is his presence. Says in Isaiah 60, verse 19, that light is not necessary. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. That's Isaiah 60, verse 19. Same thing is said in Revelation 21, 23. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Such a protective presence of God all around the city. Such a wonderful, illuminating dwelling, the presence of God in the middle of the city. Who would not want to be in that city? But who determines who's in that city? God says each person determines if they will be in that city. If they will obey God's commands for each person to deliver himself, it says in verse 7, deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest. Save yourselves from this untoward generation with the daughter of Babylon. Deliver thyself, O Zion, God's calling today. God's saying the same thing today, Revelation 18:4. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not her plagues. Acts 2:40, many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save thyself from this untoward generation. Save thyself from this untoward generation. What's that mean? Untoward generation means a generation that's not toward God. It's untoward God. It's going the other direction. It's pointing away from God. God's call is for those who want to live in this wonderful city of Jerusalem is to separate from the world that's going away from God. Return to Jehovah Jesus. And God promises in verse 8, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath sent me unto the nations and spoiled you, he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. That language is so graphic. Israel is so precious to God that whoever hurts Israel hurts God. The eye is the most sensitive part on the body. We flinch even when something gets close to it. And what God wants to say here is he means that says that whoever hurts you hurts me, Isaiah 63:9. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He bare them and carried them all the days of old. The angel of his presence. Exodus 33:14, he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. He is persecuted when we are persecuted. That's what he told Paul in Acts 9:4. He fell to the earth, heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He remembers us when others forget us. It says in Isaiah 49:15, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee. Our weaknesses, it touches him. Our weakness touches him. Hebrews 4:15, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities or weakness, but was in all point tempted as like as we are, yet without sin. Now, why does God tell all this to Israel? Why is he saying all this? He's saying this to motivate Israel to return to God. Why God is saying all this to Israel? He's in essence saying, oh, Israel, hurry home. Hurry home. That's what God is saying to everyone today that's wandered away from him. He's saying, hurry home, my child. Hurry home. I'm waiting for you. Just like the father of the prodigal son in Luke 15:20, he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his face and kissed him. That was the prodigal son's father there, wishing every day for his son, oh, son, hurry home, hurry home. It's also wonderful that God says there's the reaction which you should have in verse 10. And verse 10 is, sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. Why has the Lord told us all this? He's told us all this because he wants us to sing and rejoice, as he said in John 15:1. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. In essence, God is saying, be happy. This is great news. Protection, presence, being called my people. This is Jehovah Jesus speaking. And he says, lo, I come. Sing about that. Be happy about this. This is what King David called the Messiah. King David called the Messiah in Psalm 118:26. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That's the title of Jesus as John the Baptist called him in Matthew 11:3, when he said unto him, art thou he that should come? Or look we for another. This is what the multitudes called the Lord Jesus on Palm Sunday when he came into Jerusalem in Matthew 21:9. The multitude that went before that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. This is how Jesus will be called when he returns on the second coming in Matthew 23:39. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That's how the Lord Jesus is known. Here in verse 10, Zechariah 2:10, lo, I come. He is he that cometh. Taken right from Psalm 40:7. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it's written of me. What wonderful words to use when worshiping the Lord. Lord, you are the one that came. We just sung it, wounded for me, dying for me, living for me, coming for me. And this is why he came. Why is he coming? Why is he coming? Because it says in verse 10, I will dwell in the midst of thee. That's the reason to sing and rejoice in verse 10. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion. It is because, verse 10, I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. Because the highest happiness of a person, the highest happiness that a person can have comes from being in the presence of the one who he loves the most. Psalm 16:11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. God wants to dwell with us. That's the bottom line. God wants to dwell with them. Israel, God wants to dwell with us. And this is the reason why he had the tabernacle made. It says his commissioning statement to Moses, Moses, make the tabernacle. Here's your commissioning statement. Here's why you're doing it. Exodus 25:8, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Scott was just saying to me the last service, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What is the treasure? It's not what is the treasure. Who is the treasure? Is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the mystery among the Gentiles from Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Galatians 1:16, Paul said the greatest thing he discovered in Galatians 1:16 was when he said, God revealed his son in me that I might preach him among the nations. And what a beautiful title for the Lord, the one who wants to dwell with us. He wants to dwell with us. And who is he to Israel? His title to Israel is the Fountain of Israel. The Fountain of Israel, Psalm 68:26. Bless ye God in the congregations, even the Lord, from the Fountain of Israel. Jeremiah 2:13, God says, me, the fountain of living waters. Psalm 36:9, for with thee is the fountain of life. So this is what this chapter is all about. It's all about a man measuring Jerusalem. It's all about a man preparing for the great expansion of Jerusalem when the Gentiles would be brought in. And the chapter ends with one word, again, that God will choose Israel again. The chapter ends with the restoration of Israel, the restoration of Israel. Zechariah 2:12. And the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. That's just another statement for Romans 11:25. Romans 11:25. I would not, brethren, have you ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. This is so solemn. This is so solemn that God ends by saying in verse 13, be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he has raised up out of his holy habitation. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the future of Jerusalem, the future of your city, the city of peace, the future of our city. In Jesus' name, amen.
Another wonderful day studying the Bible with our Bible teacher, Tom Cantor, here on Friendship with God. Don't forget that today's message and previous messages can be listened to and downloaded for free at friendshipwithgod.org. That's friendshipwithgod.org. You can also go online to find free resources from Tom Cantor and our online bookstore at friendshipwithgod.org. You can also find Tom Cantor on Facebook, and you can also go to friendshipwithgod.org to sign up for his daily devotional. Tom Cantor is also the founder of Israel Restoration Ministries. You can visit that website at israelrestoration.org. You can write to Tom Cantor at P.O. Box 711330, Santee, California 92071. That's P.O. Box 711330, Santee, California 92071. Or email Tom Cantor at tomcantor@friendshipwithgod.org. That's tomcantor@friendshipwithgod.org. For more information about Tom Cantor and Friendship with God and Israel Restoration Ministries, call us at 800-247-3051. That's 800-247-3051. What are you doing Sunday nights? Come join Friendship with God radio Bible teacher Tom Cantor of the Friendship with God Fellowship Church every Sunday night at 5:30 p.m. at The Vine at 9336 Abraham Way, Santee, California. Watch and listen live around the world to Tom Cantor Sunday evening on YouTube.com by searching for Friendship with God Fellowship or by going to our homepage at friendshipwithgod.org. That's friendshipwithgod.org.
This program is brought to you by Israel Restoration Ministries.